That town where that widow woman lived was called Zarephath. It means burning furnace. And no doubt it was the scene of a great trial to this woman and to all in that part of the country. And the strange thing is that the drought that God sent over Israel because of its sin and idolatry and Baal worship, God caused others to endure as well. We wonder why. And it's here that all the questions begin. Why this town? Why this woman? Why was she stretched to the limit of her resources? Such are always the questions when people suffer terribly in this world, which is, like Zarephath, a burning furnace. Maybe that's how you feel about life today. It's a furnace. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel. And mothers, I trust that we have a special word just for you, a word of encouragement that might just give you the hope that you need in your time of life and in your station of caring for a family, maybe a sick child, or maybe in loneliness after raising your family and seeing them go their various ways as they branch out. The Lord does minister to our hearts and our loneliness, and He does fit us for the task. He has grace sufficient for His people. And we're going to be looking today at 1 Kings 17 with the widow that provided Elijah that meal that was so vital from a barrel that was almost empty, and how God used her to encourage God's servant. We have a hymn, God's Refining Fire. And in this world, we're not long operating until we find ourselves being refined, changed, taking the dross away and giving us purity of heart. And as we go on in the Christian life, of course, that's God's power and work at work in us, that we might be changed into His beautiful image. Listen to this story here. Dr. Joseph Parker once said that when Robert Moffat was added to the kingdom of God, a whole continent was added with him. Now, Robert Moffat, of course, was the missionary to Africa. A mother's kiss did it. He was leaving home and his mother was going with him part of the way. At last, she could walk no farther, and she stopped. Robert, she said, promise me something. What? Asked the boy. Promise me something, she said again, and he replied, you will have to tell me before I will promise. It is something you can easily do, she said. Promise your mother. He looked into her face and said, very well, mother. I will do anything you wish. She clasped her hands behind his head and pulled his face down to hers and said, Robert, you are going out into a wicked world. Begin every day with God. Close every day with God. Then she kissed him. And Robert Moffat said it was that kiss that made him a missionary. Oh, the influence of a mother, one who was dedicated and concerned for the heart of her son, not just his future and his success, but for his heart, that he may be kept by the power of God. We have to thank God for the influence of mothers, for all that they do, not only in the physical realm, but what they do when they pray and when they show that example and direct children in the right way in which they should go. Stay tuned as we continue our program. God's Refining Fire. That's a word that, yes, we all need.
And when the answer comes,
We're turning again to 1 Kings chapter 17, to this story of Elijah, and of course the miracle of how he was sustained by this woman, this widow woman, who was herself facing starvation. The marvel of the story really is summed up in verse 14, where the promise was given, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. While Elijah was on the east side of the country, sitting at a brook called Cherith, hiding from King Ahab, he was a fugitive on the run. And there God provided food, sending the ravens to bring meat. But every day the brook Cherith got smaller and smaller and smaller until there was no way to survive in the heat of Israel, in that drought that had spread across the land. Elijah needed new direction. And at that time, 100 miles away or so in the northwest of the country, near the Mediterranean coast, in the land of Zidon, was a widow woman also facing the sorrows of the drought. And she was literally preparing her very last meal before she and her son and her household would eat and then stare death in the face. That town where that widow woman lived was called Zarephath. It means burning furnace. And no doubt it was the scene of a great trial to this woman and to all in that part of the country. And the strange thing is that the drought that God sent over Israel because of its sin and idolatry and Baal worship, God caused others to endure as well. We wonder why. And it's here that all the questions begin. Why this town? Why this woman? Why was she stretched to the limit of her resources? Such are always the questions when people suffer terribly in this world, which is like Zarephath, a burning furnace. Maybe that's how you feel about life today. It's a furnace. And you never thought that your Christian life would bring the trials and troubles, the disappointments, and that you would at times stare hopelessly into the future, not at all sure how to survive. And then, as in this case, God sent a prophet who himself had nothing, to come to a woman whose barrel was almost empty. What was God doing? And of course, now we know the story. As I thought on a message for mothers today, I was guided to this account. Because mothers and women, above all, are prone to the worries and the cares of life. There's no such thing as being a mother and not having care. The day that your first child is conceived and born from your womb, your life is a life of care. However, for the Christian, it ought to be translated into being careful for nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And it's that ability to take what is the natural and the obvious cares of life to the Lord and sing what we sung in our opening hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." If there is, and I've been praying for this, if there is a word from the Lord for your heart, I want it to be in this 14th verse. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. When I read that latter part of that verse, I rejoiced, because it tells me that the rain will come again. This was a temporary drought, and God had a purpose in it to humble Israel and to turn from their idolatry and turn back to God. It had a message. And that's something we need to accept, that in the troubles and trials of life, God has a message. God speaks by His word, and He speaks by providence. And He brings us into straits, and He drives us to our knees, that He may speak again and get our attention to listen. God sent this woman a prophet. I'll not get into the typology of Elijah, but the Lord God of heaven has sent us a Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus. He came into this world empty. He had nothing of this world's goods about Him. He came dependent as all infants. He lived in this world 30 years, and He owned nothing, but He brought hope to a world that was dying. That's the gospel message. And we could go on to tell how the Lord Jesus came to give His life, died, suffered, endured, rose again, and is now the Savior of the world that brings hope. And a Christian mother is a mother who always has hope, because we have a Savior. And He comes into the midst of our lives, and He gives us promises. But how does it all work out? That sometimes is the puzzle. Now, what can we take from God's dealings with this widow woman for mothers here today? That's my question. And I know I'm the preacher, and I have to ask that question. What is there here for mothers from this incident of God using this widow woman with her nigh empty barrel of meal and nigh empty cruse of oil to sustain Elijah? It seems that she was the one helping Elijah. But let's look at some pointers here today. There is no question that she was a chosen vessel, a chosen vessel. There is here a providential introduction. And if you look at verse 9, you will see that when Elijah made that long journey, and in Israel in those days, 100 miles or so was a long journey, in the drought, in the heat, he would have arrived at that city absolutely weary, exhausted, thirsty. And in the verse 9, you will see that God says to Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman." God commanded, and God does those things. He chooses, He selects, and He puts into the heart of an individual to be the vessel that will minister to Elijah. God does that. He does that in grace. He does that by the gospel. He does that by His Holy Spirit. And He takes one and He says, "I am calling you," and He makes you a chosen vessel. But how will they meet? How will Elijah even know her? Couldn't get a picture of her sent by email or text. Had no way of knowing which woman he would find when he arrived there. But you'll notice in the verse 10, God's providence at work, a providential introduction. "So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman," the very one, the widow woman, "was there gathering of sticks." And so as he arrived at the gate, that woman was at the gate, going about her chore, gathering sticks to prepare that last meal. But in God's providence, he had her there the moment that Elijah arrived at the gate. And it was to her that he spoke the first words. God works like that. And if you are a chosen vessel, if God has his spirit in your heart and his hand upon your life, you will find that there will be those providential introductions, those helpers. No, at first we don't think upon Elijah as a helper. He was the one that needed help, but he became the answer to this woman soon to face death and sorrow. Is this true? That God has certain people in mind when he does certain things. Do you and I believe that God is sovereign, that he really reigns in hearts and lives and circumstances? Sovereignty means to reign, absolutely reign. Do you believe that certain people are the apple of the Lord's eye? You know, that center core that you wouldn't let anybody touch. That is the most vulnerable part of your body to be protected, the apple of your eye. This woman at Zarephath, in that burning furnace in the drought, with her emptying barrel, God's eye was upon her. And she was precious to him. We go through the Bible and we think of Jeremiah. God knew him from the womb before he was even born and chosen to be a prophet. Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, was chosen to be the channel of the human nature of Jesus' birth into this world. Mary Magdalene was chosen to be the first and foremost lady witness at the tomb, that one who had been delivered from so much sin. God seemed to favor Mary Magdalene. Timothy's grandmother and mother, Eunice and Lois, were the chosen parents that would school Timothy in the scriptures, that God would make him a pastor preacher, a chosen vessel. I think of the time and the effort that parents and mothers invest in their children. You bring them to Sunday school, you encourage them in their lessons, you take time at home, I trust every day, to teach your children the script. No greater ministry for a mother than to be teaching children the things of God from the Word. You are in that hour a chosen vessel. You are doing a work that no one else can do. You can make a difference in your child that no one else can make. And so it was providential. God at work. And he works from both ends. That's the marvel of it. From one end of the country to the other, he is directing and commanding Elijah, and he's commanding the widow woman. And he brings them together right at the gate. What a marvel. Then also, a chosen vessel, in spite of a pagan background. This woman was in Zarephath, Zidon. She was a Zidonian. The Zidonians were worshippers of Baal and Ashtoreth. I hope I pronounced that right. The god of blood, he is called. Paganism. Nothing of the scriptures, nothing of the light of God in that land. And this woman would have grown up witnessing the human sacrifices to the heathen god. She would have witnessed Baal worship, the very god that Jehovah was now wiping out of the map and the minds of people, but she was a Baal worshiper. And yet she is brought to be God's vessel, God's chosen one, to sustain God's prophet. And as you study the whole passage, she is given faith in Jehovah. Is that your story? Is that your testimony? Once you were in darkness, worshiping false gods or the world and yourself, but now
God commanded this widow woman. God, by his decree and purpose, has brought you to faith in the Lord. What a miracle. What an amazing miracle. The Christian must never forget the pit from which she or he has been dug. And grace always brings us to ask the question, why me? Why this woman? And the Lord Jesus, he was asked about this matter of election and choosing. And he said in Luke's gospel, there were many widow women in Zidon. God chose one. Why me? That's grace. And you can never answer that question. And I don't think when we get to heaven we will answer that question, apart from looking into the heart of God, who is full of mercy and love. She was also chosen vessel in spite of being so poor, poor and impoverished, a widow living through a drought, brought to an extended famine. She was at the gate choosing two sticks. She was going to light a little fire to prepare the last of the meal and die. You read verse 12. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What use would this woman be to Elijah? How could God make this work? Surely if God is going to sustain this prophet, he would have sent Elijah to a rich family, a palace, an estate where the rain did not be withheld. There would be lush pasture and animals and plants and food to be had. But to send Elijah to a woman in the heat of the drought with an emptying barrel, a woman that was facing hopelessly looking at death, what is God doing? And you might ask that too. I do at times. What is God doing?
What is God doing? Well, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Years ago, there lived in Scotland a Christian widow, left with several dependent children. She was at length reduced to great straits, and in order to feed and clothe her little household, was obliged to practice the strictest economy. Yet withal, her heart was fixed upon the Lord, and both by precept and practice, she taught the lesson of trust and confidence to her children. But there came a day when the purse was flat and the cupboard bare. In the meal barrel there was only left a handful of flour. And like the widow of Zarephath, she went to get it to make a morsel of food to satisfy the craving of the hungry little ones. Knowing not where the next would come from, as she bent over the barrel, scraping up the last of the flour, her heart for a moment gave way, and in a paroxysm of doubt, the hot tears began to fall, and she felt as one utterly forsaken. Hearing her sobs, her little boy Robbie drew near to comfort. Plucking at her dress till he attracted her attention, he looked up into her face with wonder and asked, in his quaint Scottish dialect, "Mother, what are you greeting, weeping about? Dinna God hear you scraping o' the bottom o' the barrel, mother?" In a moment, her failing faith reasserted itself. Ah, yes, God did hear. All else might be gone, but he remained, and his word declared her every need should be supplied. And so it was, for help was provided from a most unexpected source when the last of what she had was gone. The story was told by Dr. Harry Ironside. And it's an encouragement to us that not only in the Bible do we find these miracles, but in God's people everywhere around the world, God is working such miracles to provide and to meet the need of his people. And maybe you are at your wit's end today, scraping the barrel, as it were. I trust you will not lose hope, but cry to the Lord and he will provide your need. And I trust that God will in mercy visit you, bless you, and encourage you through his own precious word.